It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's talk some Cleveland Brownies football with John Telich. JT, how are we doing today?
We are doing great. Excited to see what happens this weekend, fourth game of the season for the Browns. And obviously on the high school level, we're already into week 7. Amazing.
Whew, yeah, hard to believe. We'll certainly circle back around to some high school stuff before we get out of here. But a long victory celebration week for Browns fans, although kind of cut short in terms of the celebration, is just some wild news earlier this week. Miles Garrett in a single car accident, rolled his Porsche a couple of times. But man, he seems to be okay. But boy, this seems like it could have been a whole lot worse based off the pictures that we saw.
Yeah, apparently, according to reports and folks at the scene, he came upon, you know, an animal that came out into the road and swerved to miss it. And, you know, I guess I've never hit a deer or any large type animal in my life. So I know they always say, you know, just kind of drive right into the animal and so as to not cause an accident. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he reacted and probably overreacted. And you know, wear your seatbelts, folks. That's all I can say. Wear your seatbelts.
There you go. Absolutely. So thankfully, again, Miles Garrett, okay at the time of this recording. Unsure whether he'll play Sunday or not. In my mind, I don't think he'll play. It seems kind of crazy to roll your car on Monday and then play in a game 6 days later. But, I mean, that's the kind of machine that Miles Garrett seems to be at times. So other injuries regarding this team, JT. I know Clowney missed last week. You got some other bumps and bruises. Anthony Walker with that quad injury. That's a big blow for the Browns. Where do they kind of stand on that front right now?
Well, I'm going to – Rocco, they were pretty light on the defensive end side before this Miles situation, and even with the potential – and again, sitting here recording this on Wednesday afternoon, not knowing about Jadeveon Clowney, whether or not he will be able to play. So they were thin on the defensive end side. I understand they did bring in a Curtis Weaver, so he could come into play as the week goes on, but that's just in that one position. Look at guys like Anthony, they lost Walker, and mm-hmm. that is a very big blow because Walker is one of the top pros on the team, most respected guys. He was the green dot guy, you know, that got the signals from the sidelines. So I'm imagining that young Mr. Phillips is going to have those duties moving forward. JOK went out of the game. We'll check on his status as the week goes on. And then Taven Bryant, out of the mix, and you know, we'll have to wait and see how things go with him as the week goes on. They've lost, you know, situation with other players on this team, and as they move forward, you know, they're just in that next man up mentality. But I'll give them this: in the first two weeks they had problems in their communications, and they gave up some big chunk plays on just total blown coverages. I'll give them this past week, they cleaned that up. So that was a good thing to see. And that was while they were playing a game where their green dot guy, their communication guy, Walker, goes out of the game. And then, you know, Phillips has to come in and play that position and be the green dot guy, I'm assuming, going forward. So they cleaned up a lot of their communication, or miscommunication, as mm-hmm. it were, and that's a good sign going forward.
Speaking of last week, as the Browns got that 29-17 Thursday night win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, did Kevin Stefanski start to win some folks back with a big rivalry win over the Steelers?
Yeah, I think he did. You know, he's the first guy since 99, Rocco, to beat the Steelers 3 times. That's including all those interim head coaches that the Browns wow. had since the new era. So he has 3 wins against them. I know you can be nitpicky and say, well, did he really win that one game in the playoffs? You know, yeah, he won it from his basement, right? Yeah, he won it. But, you know, kudos to him. So he's got them going in the right way. And what he has done on the offensive side of the football this year, his creativity, his use of Nick and Kareem, the way he's filtered in game to game, a different kind of a scenario. Like this most recent game, you saw a lot more of David Njoku, and Amari Cooper's been really productive for 2 of his 3 games. The way he has done that, to have the offense score 85 points, that's the tops in the National Football League. It's more than even the Buffalo Bills, who this past week, Rocco, had 490 yards from scrimmage in their loss, which is incredible, their loss to the Dolphins. And then the Chiefs have been pretty productive on the offensive side of the ball, although not the type of production that we have been seeing from them over the years with Tyreek Hill there. With Hill gone, they lose some of that explosiveness. But there are the Browns, 85 points, tops in the NFL. And what's been really important for them, I think, each and every week has been that time of possession. They have won that battle each week. I know they did get fuzzy at the end of the home opener when they blew the game against the Jets. That's been well documented, as it were. And so, you know, you don't want to see scenarios where this type of stuff goes, you know, comes into play, but that's what they were dealing with. And they've had 8 scoring drives in this season of 10 or more plays. So it shows consistency, keeping the penalties down. I know we've had some 12 men on the field things and stuff like that, but, you know, they've been pretty consistent in how they've gone forward on the offensive side of the ball. So I have to give Kevin credit for that.
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, just looking at that Thursday night game from the eye test, he is scheming guys wide open. I know, obviously, having Amari Cooper, an elite wide receiver, and a big bad tight end, and David Njoku kind of helps. And, of course, the running tandem that they have behind that big offensive line, it opens things up. But, again, just the scheme that these guys have had offensively, it's really turned Jacoby Brissett into a very, very good-looking quarterback here in the early goings. I mean, a lot of the numbers have him as a top 10 guy this year. I mean, that's just incredible.
I think a lot of folks thought he would just kind of hold his own until Deshaun Watson comes back with 6 games to go. But incredibly, and I know this happens because sometimes people lose their minds early in seasons, we have people talking about, well, you know, if the Browns, if Brissett continues playing in this manner, do you even make the switch to Deshaun Watson?
Oh, boy.
Well, they paid all that money, and let's just say it's a decision they don't have to make for like 8 or 9 weeks from now. So let's just let history take its course and go from there. But here's Brissett, Pro Football Focus, highest graded Brown this past week, and he was really impressive once again, as you alluded. He's the top 3 graded quarterback in the league. Lamar Jackson, who's just been spectacular this year. Jalen Hurts, who's running that Oklahoma-style offense in Philadelphia, is 2nd. And there is Jacoby Brissett, Mr. Backup Guy. You know, nobody pays him much attention, but he has guided this ship with a lot of calmness. I think what he showed in the tail end of that first game where they needed to get into position for the long field goal, he delivered as far as that was concerned. And as you alluded, Rocco, the way he's rolling out or his time in the pocket, looking for secondary receivers, making connections with them, being pretty accurate with his throws, being very decisive on those 4th down sneaks. I mean, he's a big guy, so they could use a guy with his size and that length of being, you know, 6'3", 6'4", on some of those plays where they just need that 1 yard sneak, and he's been able to deliver. So I've been really impressed with him, and let's keep him healthy and keep moving the chains as they have all year.
John Telich, our guest this morning, talking some Cleveland Browns football on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. JT, is Nick Chubb even better here this season?
It's amazing to say. I think he is. I think he has really established himself. As you look around this league, I know a lot of people have always said Derrick Henry this, or maybe the guy in the Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor, that. But I'll take Nick Chubb any time of the day. Since he came into the league in 18, he's had 24 games of 100-plus yards. That's the most by any back in the league. But the biggest stat, the thing that really sticks out for me about Nicholas Jamal Chubb is the fact that, like even last week, 102 of his 113 yards came after he had contact, and he still leads the league by a mile in forced missed tackles. There was one play, do you recall, he had a handoff up to the middle, and he literally hopped. I mean, it was, if he was on a dance floor, it would have been part of some, synchronized, fantastic move with his partner. He hopped 2 yards to the right and made a man miss and then got positive yardage. just absolutely spectacular. I love his demeanor. The best teammate anybody would want to have on their team. An inspiration to kids that want to play the game the right way. Just a great young man who continues to be among the best that plays the position. I mean, he's past the 5,000 yards mark already, and you know it won't be that long before he's in double digits. You know, as far as 10,000 plus yards in a few years from now, and his career has just been spectacular. And they have such a great combination with both Nick Chubb and Kareem.
I actually watched the slowed down version of that exact same play that you're talking about earlier this morning, JT, before our phone call. It was Burns or Trotter or Steinberg, or one of the two had like the behind the quarterback angle of it. But man, oh man, it was ridiculous. I mean, you talk about putting your foot in the ground and making a move. Yeah, literally hopped 2 to 3 yards to his right, made a guy miss, got downfield for positive yards. Something only Nick Chubb can really do. Just incredible stuff there. So the task ahead now, the Atlanta Falcons, the Browns on the road this week. I've seen some concerns on Twitter from people throwing around that term trap game with some injuries and coming off a big rivalry win at home and a long week in between and everything. So what do we make of this matchup with Atlanta, John?
Yeah, it does have the potential, but I think with the option, or not the option, the opportunity to go up 3-1 this first month of the season, and also knowing that you have the Chargers without Justin Herbert coming to First Energy Stadium next week, then I think you certainly don't want to blow this game. This is a game where you can get your team to a 3-1 mark, but they have some very good young talent on the offensive side of the ball, not so much on the defensive side. That rookie receiver, Drake London, could be the best of the young receivers in the league. He's the highest rated rookie receiver. And of course you have Kyle Pitts, who's a beast at his position. And guess who's third in the league in rushing? Cordarrelle Patterson is third in the league rushing. So they can do some things. I mean, Marcus Mariota is Marcus Mariota. He's not going to win a Super Bowl for you. Sometimes serviceable. Sometimes, you know, he does lock into his people and makes some difficult throws and gets in trouble for that. But the Browns offense, this is a game where they can really pack their lunch pails and go to work on the offensive line and run that football. These guys give up 4.8 yards a carry, and they also, their defensive secondary is last in the league in completion percentage that they give up. I think opposing quarterbacks are throwing for like 71%, something like that.
Wow.
So, you know, this is the kind of a game where Jacoby, if he's patient, if it's schemed up well by Kevin Stefanski, the Browns can go down to Atlanta, despite possibly not having Miles or maybe not even having Jadeveon Clowney. So remember the name Curtis Weaver. He could be one of your guys on the field on Sunday. Good Lord, they are thin at that position.
Yeah.
Despite all of that, there's an opportunity for a win. So I think I picked the Browns every week, and it's not going to be the case, but I feel that they can still handle the adversity. Brissett mentioned it when talking to the media Wednesday, and by the way, Miles was not available to the media on Wednesday, but he did talk about this is, you know, adversity for us as a team. We have to go down to Atlanta and take care of business. And so I'll say the Browns 27-21. A week ago I said 24-21, and it kind of trended towards that towards the end. And then you had that kind of garbage touchdown on the final play of the game. But I can see the Browns winning down in Atlanta 27-21.
You homer, JT, taking the Browns each and every week. Come on.
I know. Well, next week will be a big test with the
yes.
Chargers coming in. But we'll see. I mean, if they continue to play well, and if Stefanski does a number so far this week, the way he has early in the season with how he uses Brissett and how he's running that offense, then all bets are off. We'll see what happens.
We will indeed. Browns at Atlanta taking on the Falcons this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Big chance to go to 3-1 on the season, JT says. The Orange Brown going to be a winner 27-21. JT, before I let you go, we got to talk some high school football.
Sure.
Like you said, hard to believe we are already in Week 7. Some fantastic matchups around the area this week. I know we'll have Mentor in Medina as our Medina County matchup, WEOL.com stream 3. But I know a lot of eyes here in Lorain County, if not all eyes, Avon and Olmsted Falls, both 5-1 SWC, first place in that conference on the line. Should be a lot of fun there.
Should be. And other games to talk about, or at least to keep an eye on, Elyria against North Ridgeville.
Oh, yeah.
Now, way out east, you have the Perry football team, the Perry Pirates, taking on the Kirtland Hornets. So that's a chance for Perry to see if they can measure themselves against one of the top programs in the state. You mentioned Mentor and Medina. Very intriguing there. Medina's put up so many points this year. Mentor's kind of struggled on some weeks and then looked like a world beater on others. So that'll be an interesting game to watch. And then the Holy War on Saturday, St. Ignatius and St. Edward.
Now, there's something with the head coaching records on the line in that Ignatius-Eds game, if I'm not mistaken, right? Something about one of them only has a winning record against everybody except the other, and I can't remember exactly how it goes, and I might be putting you on the spot here, but I obviously there's a lot on the line when the Holy War comes around, but I remember seeing something about that coaching record, but now it escapes me.
Yeah, I'm a little fuzzy on that one. I do know that, you know, Tom Lombardo has just been lights out since he came to St. Edward, mm-hmm. But that rivalry, just tooth and nail each and every year from one to the other. I think you would give the edge this year to St. Edward just because they're coming off a state championship. And even though they did lose to Massillon, Washington recently, you still have an opportunity for them to maybe get one over St. Ignatius. But again, and I know it's the cliche of the year, but you kind of throw a lot of that stuff right out the window when those two teams play. They're always such really tough games and so much on the line. And alums talking about it for year upon year. So should be a good one. The Wildcats taking on those Eagles.
Is this the year those Tigers down in Massillon get a state title game victory? Of course, they have all the national or state titles from back in the day when there was no game. And, of course, the folks at McKinley love to bring that up every now and again. But
they do.
Yeah, is this the year those Tigers get a state title? I don't know.
It's, you know, those folks at Hope, and I'm sure have a lot to say about that. But, yeah, the opportunity is there this year for those Tigers to bring home a championship, which, as you mentioned, is as amazing as their history has been with all those teams back in the Paul Brown days and Earl Bruce and so on and so forth up to the present time. Since the computer playoffs began, they have not won a championship, which is absolutely astonishing to think of because of all the support that program has and the great players that played there over the years.
Well, I think Mike Elder and the Avon Eagles might have something to say about those Tigers competing for a state championship. So we'll see. Getting closer and closer to that time of the year here in week 7. So fantastic stuff. JT, thank you for the time. As always, my friend, always a blast when we get to talk some football together. Have a great rest of the week. We'll enjoy hopefully a Browns win on Sunday as they're down in Atlanta to take on the Falcons 1 o'clock, and we'll break it down next week. Thanks again, JT.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to it. Talk to you next week.